This week, new co-host Alan and I sat down with this really awesome fucking filmmaker that we found on Instagram, Victor Gabriel. He's with his company is RFN Pictures, and they have a new project out called Blood Gorge. It's about a 40-minute short. The thing is fucking awesome. Not available for public consumption quite yet. You'll hear in the interview that he is getting ready to release it on YouTube for everybody to watch, which is fucking awesome because it's so great. So we're super excited that we were able to talk with him and really kind of pump it up a little bit so that when it does come out, you guys are ready to watch it and hopefully like it as much as we did. Victor's dope. We talked for a little while and we talk a lot about, you know, the influences for the movie, some of the way that it all came together. We really just sat down and had a good time with him. So sit back, relax, hang out, and then hit us up on Instagram at Mutant City Horror. You can email the show direct, mutantcityhorror@gmail.com, or you can email me direct, paul@mutantcityhorror.com. That's not confusing. But yeah, appreciate you guys. See you on the next one.
Yo, you guys are Paul Allen?
Paul Allen.
Like from American Psycho, dude.
I know, right? Put right? it together, you get something Paul great. Allen. Yeah. Okay. Gotta tell you
That's
about
sick.
This. I know. Hey, I'll you be right back. I gotta take some tapes back. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Where, to your house, bro?
I know, right?
You guys should like make a new logo and it just says Paul at like Paul/Allen or something. Man. It's like
the problem is that the stock of the paper has to be legit and we haven't landed on that yet.
Gotta be the appropriate thickness.
With the right, right? lettering. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Subtle off white coloring.
Well, thanks for meeting with us, man. Yeah, we've been talking about you guys a lot lately. For anybody who's watching, I'm not paying attention to the YouTube thing, so I'm just gonna let that run. If anybody wants to chat, the chat's open. We've been following you guys for a minute. I think I saw a post or a trailer for Blood Gorge. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is right up my fucking alley. Like, I need to see this. And then on Instagram, we started following you guys and just kind of paying attention. And then somehow you and I started talking and we ended up with a screener and like immediately I started texting you. I was like, this is great. All the effects are dope, blah, blah, blah. And then like, let's get you on the show. And here we are now. So I appreciate you showing up.
No, thanks for like, seriously, thanks for checking it out. And even stumbling upon the trailer because I was going to say we worked really hard on it. But I didn't really work very hard on it. But Vince, my brother who edited it, he worked really hard on it. And I think it came out pretty sick. So
I will
thanks
say,
for seeing me.
Yeah, for sure. Anybody who listens to our show will know that I'm a huge proponent of the editor because in doing my own editing stuff, like I realize how much work goes into that shit. So even to make like a 30-minute commercial, like it takes hours, if not days, to put together a 30-second clip. So. Weeks.
Oh, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, then worried.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like it's just, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example of the fact or the point that I'm trying to make, which is
no
editing is
totally valid. Even a little minuscule amount of time takes lots amount of time.
Oh, 100%. Like,
yeah.
So mad respect to the editor for sure. He was also your DP, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Vince is my brother. And we've been talking about like doing a movie for a while and I've probably been talking to, you know, we've been mulling it around, I think for years, maybe like 4 or 5 years. Cause like he's been filming music videos and stuff over the past forever years. And then we were going to do something serious, like a drama movie that I've been writing that was like really depressing. And I was trying to save up a shit ton of money to do it. And I was like, this is too much money. And he was just like, I don't know if we should do this, like tackle this idea. And so when Blood Gorge, I've had Blood Gorge in my head forever just because it's like, it's literally a slasher movie. It's nothing. It's not like complicated, but it was in my head forever. And I was like, this would be the perfect thing. And he was like, all right, fine. So he flew up to do it. And yeah, he filmed it and edited it.
Nice.
Did a bang up job.
Yeah. You guys did great.
Yeah, thanks.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
So, Tell us a little bit about the cast, because you've got some fun characters in there. And the vibe between all you guys is real friendly and open. So I would imagine you guys are probably somewhat friends in real life. So,
No, everyone, yeah. See, none of us are actors, right? So I mentioned this to my friend Jeremy a couple weeks ago. I was on his podcast, on his show. And same story for you guys. It was just, they're like my best friends, really. Like, so it's my brother, filmed it. My best friend, Kate, was in it. My fiance, Laura, is in it. And CJ, Ali, and Maddie are like some of my best friends. And Justin are, they're all just like my best friends. So it just worked out really well. And so I flew some people in from Florida and Georgia where they are. But most of us are local here, just in the Detroit area. And yeah, they've just been, some of them have been my friends for like 3 or 4 years, and some of them for like 10, 15 years. Nice. And then my brother.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. For the last 2 years, right?
For the last 2 years. Hey man, that's some people's story. Some people right. have only been brother and or sister for a couple of years. I don't know how that works, but I'm sure it's probably someone's story.
It's another movie for another day.
Yeah, right. So I usually cheat before I come into these interviews, and like I'll pull up the IMDb page and just kind of have everybody's names in front of me, so you know I don't seem like, you know, I'm totally unprepared. I didn't see an entry for you guys. What's up with that?
I don't know. I really don't know how to make one. I logged in to try to make one for our first movie that we did, which is
Cruel.
Like I found, yeah, Cruel. I'll bring the VHS tape I made of it in a minute. But it's a found footage movie, and I think the company that's putting it out is doing an IMDb for it.
Okay.
So I think they're supposed to. I think I read that somewhere, so I just stopped just fucking with it. Once I read that, I was like, oh, okay, I don't got to do this.
Nice.
But I remember coming into, we'll see. But I remember coming into like a snag with IMDb where I was like, I don't know how to do this or get this info. And so I stopped. And then I guess I should probably get back on that for Blood Gorge, because I would like it to have one. And it doesn't really have, the same type of distribution that Cruel might have or that does have.
Hmm.
So I got to figure it out,
Yeah.
But when I make that IMDb, it's just going to have like 8 names on it. So, it's going to be very, very small.
That's all you need.
I know.
So I need a poster.
At least it'll still be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody can be like, that's
And great. Then maybe y'all could leave an entry about it. Like, like
rating 100%.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Yo, do you guys remember when IMDb used to have like message boards, and now they don't do that anymore? It was like under each movie, you could be like, ask a question or whatever about something, and then people could comment on it.
Uh-uh. Yeah. They took that feature out, like, didn't it?
Yeah. Cause it did. And I think that's why they took it down. But I think that's such bullshit, because like, what weird censorship, and this was like 10 years ago. I feel like it must've been a handful of years ago, but yeah, I guess people were just like, they couldn't be civil while talking about movies. And I totally understand, because sometimes I'll read people's shit and I'm like, you're so fucking wrong. And I just want to say something, but I can't.
Yeah, man.
But anyways.
We'll petition for IMDb to bring it back.
Yeah, seriously. That'd be sick, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll start with yours, right? We'll get one made for Blood Gorge, and then, hey, put the message board.
That would be cool. I mean, it's like the first one with the message board like thing back on it.
Yeah.
And then you go like opt in. Is it like a future service or something? We might be on
that. That would be so cool. Like, yeah, you can like enable comments or like enable chat or whatever on your movie.
Yeah.
Got to be a feature on Letterboxd or something somewhere. I don't know how to use any of them.
I have to ask, RFN Pictures. Is that like right fucking now?
That's a good one.
It's like, that's kind of close, I guess. It's Real Fucking Nightmare.
Yes.
Nice.
I like
that.
I like
that. That was pretty close to you.
Either way, no matter what how they ended up, the F is always going to stand for fuck or fucking.
Yeah, I think so. So that's why I guess it was like pretty close. But yeah.
All right. So Laura is your fiance, right? In real life. She's the one who dies in the opening scene? Fucking brutal, man. That was
Right.
so awesome. And I think
Yeah.
it was right after that, like after the title card, right, where she gets the I don't know if you're cool with spoilers or whatever.
Nah, never. I mean, maybe not the, the whole, not that there's a twist, but like maybe not the ending, but like anything
Sure,
else. I don't
sure,
care if
sure,
you
sure.
talk about how people die or whatever, because I
Okay.
mean, it's like literally just a stupid movie, whatever.
Dude,
You know,
no,
it's
you're
not like
cutting it short, bro. It was fucking awesome,
it is
man.
short. You're right.
Nice. I
I
see what
mean,
you did there. I see what you did there.
that scene right before the first kill, though, where you're filming the iPhone conversation over the shoulder, that was clean. Like that was like my first catch in the movie where I was like, okay, let me get comfortable here and get uncomfortable.
No, I appreciate you saying that because like I thought so too. I was like, I didn't know how that shot in particular was gonna go. Vince and I were trying to figure out how we can get the phone to kind of like, like how is it gonna look real? Are we gonna have to edit in? But like the phone was like they like Maddie was sitting in my kitchen and Laura was sitting outside, and so they were just talking from 5 feet away. And it really had like that disconnect, and it looked like, like we're talking right now, and like there's kind of a lag, a little bit. There was like a lag and pauses, and it just looked natural. And it just, we were trying to get shots from far away because I wanted like wide shots, but then we were like, let's pull it closer and put it over the shoulder. And it just worked out. It was just like a last minute thing where we kind of just like did a bunch of shit on the fly. But that one was a pretty cool one just because. It's simple, but I thought it looked pretty good. So thank you for acknowledging
Absolutely.
it. How did she feel about, dying the way that she died?
I mean, she with that one, it was like she didn't. She was like, we'd planned for the movie to be an hour long, so she didn't really want to have too many lines. So I was like, we'll kill you first, and she was like, all right, cool. And then you go, it's just like that was the idea.
Get you in and out.
Yeah,
That's
she's in
hilarious.
Cruel like the whole end of the movie, the whole half of the movie.
I haven't seen it
But
yet.
oh
Yeah, I haven't seen
no,
it.
I know I haven't really showed it because like I haven't sent it to too many people because Terror Films is putting it out, and so I don't really have the. It's not that I don't have the liberty. It's just like I don't want to like just
Cross the
be
line.
blowing it up, cross the line, whatever. So I'm just waiting because I don't even have a release date for it yet. They haven't told me anything about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean it's cool, but I kind of just would like to hear about it. It's been a little while, but I'm sure anytime soon. They just we finalized the poster. My friend CJ, who's in Cruel and Blood Gorge, made the posters, and they were like, "Well, I don't know," and they like touched it up a little, or they changed it a little bit. I don't want to say touched it up because CJ's work is already great, but they fucked with it just a little bit, and then like left the integrity of his artwork, which I loved, and so now there's a final poster and there's all this other shit. So I'm just waiting for like a release date. But or I'll email them and see if I can just send it to like it's not like a secret or anything. I just want to, I'm like in that last stage of like finding out about this movie. So I'm just waiting.
You're doing it the right way.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know what the right way is, bro, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I
I don't
mean,
think any,
it's getting attention, right? It's out there. You're putting it out wherever you can, and people are picking up on it, right? You did a podcast last week. You got another one this week. The name is starting to get out there. So unfortunately, with indie filmmakers, you have to do a lot of self-marketing, self-publicity, and socials are the way to do
Yeah, dude, here's my publicity, dude.
it.
No, but thank you for having me on it. That sounded like an asshole thing to say. I just mean like I don't mind. I like talking to people about our movies. It's very nice that you guys like even like wanted to talk about it or whatever. I don't think we, I don't know. It's not that it's getting around, but I appreciate people even share. Like when I see someone tagged the thing in it, I'm like, oh my God, really? So it's getting around in that sense. A couple people are sharing stuff. There's like a few real diehard supporters, which is really crazy. So I think when anyone gives you any of their time of day, it should be appreciated, and there should be a gratitude. And I appreciate you all for talking about it and sharing it and stuff. So
No, of course.
I'm stoked to put it out because it's not out yet, but soon, because we've just been like po fucking around for like November, December, January, February. So 4 months we've been a thing. We finished Blood Gorge, I think, like editing like 3 months ago. So we just wanted to get it out there and start posting stuff about Cruel because I wasn't telling it, you know. I just filmed it last summer, this past summer, and just had no idea what I was doing with anything. I've never made a movie before. I have a hard time calling it a movie, honestly, Cruel. It's not that it's not. It's just like it's just not a movie. You know what I mean? It's like it's about an hour long. And I made it on a pretty janky camera, and I don't know how to edit a film. And it's just my friends talking in front of a camera until like shit pops off, I guess. You
Yeah.
know, it's just a found footage movie.
Alan and
But
I,
maybe,
Al, I was gonna say,
yeah.
Alan and I were talking about this morning in that, you know, or actually maybe it was me and my wife. Either way, I was talking about it this morning where like you can wait around to try to like build a skill set or figure stuff out or wait for all the stars to align. And then probably get nowhere, or you could just start doing it. So even if it's a janky camera and you're learning how to edit on the fly, like
Yeah.
you do Cruel and then you do Blood Gore. You know what I mean? Like it's a
Yeah.
natural progression of skill set and you get better at it over time. I wanted to talk about your brother because the look of the film is very cinematic in most of, you know, the movie. And so I'm curious to know, like, well, I think you alluded to it earlier with him shooting music videos, but like you don't get those types of looks with somebody who's doing it for the very first time. So, you know, it stood out to me in the sense that I'm sure he does something along the lines of, you know, video, cinematography or some other
Yeah.
aspect.
He's like a jack of all trades, and he's like a music producer in Florida. And he runs his own studio, and then he's a photographer, and he's been doing music videos. I was shooting music videos too and stuff for bands and rappers and my bands and whatever else. And it's been fun, and he's been better at it, I think. His shit just became more and more progressively more cinematic. And then I think with a story behind it, and I think with proper locations, it all kind of just made everything feel a little bit more cinematic, I guess.
Yeah, I like
Yeah,
it.
he's crushing it. He's been doing it for years, so it's just been getting better. And so I appreciate his hard work.
So I want to point out a couple things that I kind of, I don't know, I think I have OCD because there's the stupidest little things I pick up on. Like, for instance, in the end credits, everybody is shown alphabetical by last name, except for you. You're just kind of thrown right in the middle, which was weird to me. But I also noticed that you said earlier Laura didn't want to have a lot of lines. She just, you know, wanted to be in and out. Kate had no lines in the movie. What's up with that? I
Oh
mean,
yeah, she was the same way. And so I was like trying to figure it out. Well, to answer the first question, which was what again? I've already
oh, it wasn't
forgotten.
even a question. I was just pointing out the
Oh,
fact
the
that
alphabetical order
I
thing.
pay attention to stupid shit.
No. Because I think it was supposed to be I think I gave it to Vince alphabetically. And then I think he just kind of took some liberties with it. If I'm not mistaken, I really don't know. Or maybe I said something about like not wanting to be like first or last in the thing, you know, like written and directed by, you know, like some like big thing. So maybe we just crammed it in there. I really don't remember what the talk was, but I think I initially gave him the list in alphabetical order. So
Got it.
I guess through all of our edits, things got shifted around or whatever. But it was supposed it should have been alphabetical order. It wound up looking fine. So I was like, I don't even care. Like it's not like anyone else is gonna it's not like anyone's gonna notice. And then here you are. Fuck you.
Paul.
There's always one, dude. There's
Right?
always one. My bad. My bad, dude. Next time I'll just keep it to myself.
I don't mind, bro. It's just you're kind of like mathematically blowing my mind, honestly.
Okay, so tell me about Kate not having lines. She just didn't want to have lines. Like, that's it?
Yeah, that was it. And we were just gonna, because she's like not an actor, and none of us are actors. We're none of us actors, right? But she just was like, I was like, we can't kill everyone from the start though. You got to be in the movie, you know. It's like we can't just fucking waste everybody. right away. So we needed more people to stay a little bit. And I was just like, I just won't give you any lines. It'll be hilarious. And then I was going to make a bunch of jokes about how she doesn't talk in the movie. And then it just kind of got convoluted. And I was like, this isn't just, it's not going to hit the way I want it to land or whatever. And because I'm not very funny, but I just think it was like, it had to have been written a particular way. Otherwise, it's not going to hit. It's not going to be funny.
Right.
So I took out all the jokes about it and we just made her silent. And I figured people would catch on to that, you know, and just be like, that's kind of funny that she doesn't say a fucking word until she dies. And then it's just horrific screaming, you know, that's like the only thing you hear from this person.
Right. Yeah. I there she there was the scene where she's getting choked and punched in the mouth, and I could it sounded like she was
Yeah.
saying like wait or something,
It
but
sounded like a word.
I was like,
Right.
I'm gonna just kind of qualify it as she had no lines in the movie. I like it better that way.
Yeah. I almost wanted to tell Vince, like, hey, mute these words that she's saying when she's getting beaten, you know, but I couldn't, you know, I was just like, fuck it.
No, either way. Okay, so okay, now I'm a little bit more interested because now you're saying she didn't want to be in it, she didn't want to have any lines, but then you have this scene where it's just her walking through the campgrounds by herself, smoking a cigarette. Like, there's a segment of the movie that's just fixated on her, which I thought,
Right.
what I'm thinking now is weird considering she didn't even want to be in it in the first place, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because like we just needed to fill some time really, and we wanted to I wanted a cool montage of the woods, blah blah blah, and it was just like we had to just choose what characters we had left really at that point. And I just thought it made the most sense because like where everyone was within the scheme of the movie, it was kind of like, yeah, we'll just take Kate and like you know, just make her walk wander off on her own. And then I dubbed in my voice saying, hey, we're over here, you know, and or Vince dubbed in my voice. And it was just so silly. We recorded it on an iPhone and I texted it over to him. He was like, hey, Kate, we're over here. And it felt like I was there with her. In fact, that shot, that whole thing, and thank you for bringing it up because I think it's really funny that that part was filmed in a different woods than where we filmed. In fact, it was filmed in a different state because Vince and Kate are both still in South Florida
The
and
power of
we're in
editing.
Michigan. I know, right? And so we filmed all the movie in like outside of Detroit and within Detroit. And then we needed those pickup shots. So they got together in South Florida at a different location in a different state to film that like 2.5 minute montage and scene of her like, you know, sort of foreshadowing her death, I guess, by lighting the
I can now make sense of the filter color because I was like trying to pick up on the color filters, like her pack of cigarettes and stuff. That fits in now.
stop noticing things.
This is what we do. You know what I mean? We pay attention
No, this is in depth,
to
bro. This is like really focused, really honed in.
So I'll tell you this. Without knowing that the fact that she didn't want to be in it, and that's why she didn't have any lines, she didn't want to speak, I took the silence in a different direction because of that scene with her walking in the woods and chilling by herself. I took it as like she's like the more calm, reserved one of the group, even though the first time we see her, she's throwing beer bottles at the side of the building, right? But you know, the house party, she's quiet, she's chill, she doesn't say anything, and it just kind of goes into that. And then there's a certain point, I think it was out in that scene where she's smoking, I was like, I wonder if she's gonna be like the last one to die. I wonder if she's gonna be the final girl, you know? And then that's kind of how it ends up. You know, if we take your character out of the equation. But yeah, I don't know. That's the way I interpreted her role in the movie.
And I sort of wanted to allude to that too, though. I wanted to like focus on a person to say like, oh, there's going to be a you know, like this is the person, even though it's not like built up in the beginning. It's kind of like we did the Drew Barrymore thing where we kill Laura right away, and then it's like who's going to be the final person or the main person, you know, because we didn't have like a main character, and then we put a little focus on a person, and I feel like yeah, you're supposed to wonder like what's the little thing she's lighting on fire, like what's is she going to be the last person, and then it's just like there's no mystery, it's just like haha. It's like just a backhand, just It's not that it was impactful. It's just that it was like that was sort of the intention. It was just supposed to be mysterious, and then it was also supposed to fill in some time. So,
See, I missed that whole connection with the fire. So maybe somebody else out there is as OCD as I am, and they probably picked up on that. So
yeah, she
this
pulls out a
is
little
spreading
note
around a
and
little
reads
bit.
it and lights it on fire.
No. I remember that part. It said the note said
Oh.
you're a shit bag or something like that,
Yeah, something like that.
and then she ends up, the way she dies. Okay, so since we're on the topic, let's talk about influence because I get Scream, I get Night of the Living Dead, I get Return of the Living Dead, and I get a little bit of House of a Thousand Corpses.
Dude, that's funny you say that because like those aren't really like what I had in mind. I don't think really any of them. Say it again. House of a Thousand Corpses.
So, Scream, Return,
Scream.
Night
Yeah.
of the Living Dead, The Return of the
Right.
Living Dead, and then House
No.
of a Thousand Corpses.
Return actually is the main influence out of all of those because it was just going to be like a bunch of like I wanted us to be a little bit more punk rock than we actually were in the movie, but it was just a bunch of punk kids. We're all fucking old people. Like it was just
No,
supposed to be like,
you
and
made it
somebody,
work.
I think even, huh?
You made it work.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, I'm gonna be like, all right, so like I'm a grown ass man, my brother's a grown ass man, CJ's a grown ass man. We're like, I'm gonna be 36 this year, so it's kind of like we're not children, dude. You know what I mean? But like
Right. I
somebody
remember.
said in a couple of reviews, it was like, oh, these Gen Z ass kids or whatever. And I was like, dude, what? Like a couple of them are like 27, you know, but like I think Ali might be kind of younger. Like I think he's like 25, maybe. But like whatever. I don't even know what I was getting at. It's just kind of it's funny how time works. This non-existent thing that we consider time.
Oh yes.
I
So going back to that discussion around the Return of the Living Dead, the visual effects were sick. You like the practical effects were absolutely on point. Like that was another drawing factor here. You guys did really knocked it out. Yeah.
And that was that Kate?
Yeah, she did all these special effects. I assisted on a few, but she really did them all. And like I just had in my head, it was kind of like, okay, this is how we'll do this. And then she's the one that fabricated everything and did it in like 10 minutes. So in my head, it was like, here, we can just do this. And she's the person with the knowledge. And I don't know if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite like hardcore bands of all time is a band called Poison the Well. And the reason I bring this up is because one of their guitarists said that he didn't know anything about music theory. And the other guitar, their original guitarist does. And so what happened was he would bring in these wonky riffs because he doesn't know anything about music theory, but the other guy would like balance it out, Ryan Premack, and be like, no, it should probably go more like this. And they'd collaborate on it, right? And so I don't know what I'm doing with special effects, but I had these ideas in my head on how we could do this XYZ. And then I was like, here, what if we try it? You know, like, what if I cut this little spike I got at, you know, fucking Home Depot and I put like a metal, you know, hanger on it and stick it in Laura's hair and make it look like a spike in her head? And so I'd fabricate a few things, but Kate's really the person that like she went to school for this shit. So first of all, she like went to the Savini school. She really crushed it.
Nice.
Yeah. And she just really pulled it out in like no time at all was the thing. It was like she had a few effects and props that she brought with her that she made at the Savini school, like Maddie's death when her face is like bludgeoned.
Yeah.
Uh,
Oh, that was
had that
great,
prop.
dude. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
That's such a good effect, right? It's just a mask, you know, it's not just a mask. It's an application that just went over Maddie's face, but it fit her face so well. It wasn't molded to her face. It was molded to her friend in school space years ago. And so it just worked out. We brought it in and she affixed it to her face in the woods in like 15 minutes and made most of like the guts and the splatter out of latex and bananas.
Nice.
And yeah, it just looked so sick. And I think it's like a combination of her hard work and Vince's like, you know, filmography or like cinematography. And it just made it look pretty. I'm not gonna say it was like realistic, but it was like brutal. I mean, it looked upsetting, I think, a couple of them.
Oh, 100%, especially Laura's. Absolutely. In the beginning. You know what it is? To me, the selling point is the eyes, the contact lenses.
Yo, thank you.
Yeah, 100%.
That's something I worked hard for.
Yeah. So Laura, for sure, in the beginning, and then CJ in the... Man, I can't believe you guys took out CJ the way that you did, dude. Did him dirty.
Yeah.
Big-ass dildo, dude. It was so funny. But then even with Kate, you know, her eyes being just that fucking bloodshot red at the end when she's all, you know, burnt up.
That was her idea. I was like, what if we do the contacts on you? And she's like, ooh, I got these like red Scalera, like burn, you know, contacts. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't even need to see them. Just bring them with you. Cause that sounds awesome. And it worked. It was like so gross and so weird. And she did all that makeup on her face. Like she spent like an hour in the bathroom just putting on a bald cap and just like bananas and goop. And when she came out of the bathroom, dude, we were all just like, go away from me. And it was so scary. And she was like, this looks stupid. She was like so mad about it. And I was just like, I wanted to cry because it looked so good, dude. It looked so scary.
Yeah.
And she came through. Pooping. And she came through so hard on every effect, but especially her own effect, because she just sat there painting her fucking head with a little sponge. And it was crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know, I wrote in the notes for the dildo kill. How many times did you put him through that? Like, I would have been like, get back over here. We didn't get a good one.
The kildo.
No,
right.
What I thought before you answer that question, in that scene was like, I wonder how many dildos they had. Did they have like different shapes, sizes, colors? Like, was it a whole like, okay, there's like 32 of them on the table. Let's see what fits. Let's see what were like.
What fits? The thing we pulled out did not fit. It was 12 inches, bro. It didn't fit. It doesn't fit anything. It's not supposed to fit. But we cut it, of course.
And we only had to take that challenge.
Yeah. 12 inch, double sided. Really? We had the one. But the shop, the video store, had plenty more. They just weren't ours, you know? So Kate brought that one up from Florida with her. She's like, oh, I have this one lying around that she got at like a job she used to work at in Florida, just like a retail job. It was just like given to her or whatever. And so she's just had it in a box for years. I'm not trying to blow up her spot or whatever, but it was unused. And she's like, oh my God, this will be perfect for that scene. And so she brought it up. And again, we filmed at the video store, which is a real working video store, which has like a huge porno section. It's huge. Like their adult section is bigger than most of the entire video stores I used to like go to when I was a kid. They're like, it's huge. Like Video Exclusive is like, it's got to be like a half an acre size store. It's huge. Oh, and nice. And a third of it is adult videos. And there's just a bunch of wieners in the back.
Nice.
I actually thought it was originally just a big porn store. And then you put like actual couple videos in the background just to throw it off. But then I saw the outside shot and I was like, no, that's legit.
I went the other way. I thought maybe it was an actual like video store and they just like staged their own porn videos for the sake of the shot. Because
right.
A, how many video stores still exist? And B, if they do, like how many of them still have open aired pornographic sections? Yeah, usually it's like the back room behind the curtain. Don't ask me how I know.
And it's a curtain. It's literally a red curtain. And if the scene's in the it's like, you know, when they find CJ's body, it's like
there you go.
But yeah, it's sorry, that scene is so funny to me. But I don't even know what I was going to say. It's both, gentlemen. It's a video store with an adult side. And so you can have all of it. They have the biggest selection I've ever seen of it. It's ridiculous. And CJ does like all their ordering and stuff too. And he knows a lot about like,
so he legit, him and I have seen, he legit works there.
Oh yeah. He like runs the joint. Like him and Tina both work there. Like nice. They're like the managers of that ish. And And that's the thing. We're not acting, dude. We're literally all of ourselves. When Kate didn't want to talk, it was because like she's the wildest of the bunch, but she also doesn't want to. She's like really chill. Like She's like a quiet person. Like, I'm a pretty quiet person. Like, Ali is pretty like outgoing, and Maddie's pretty outgoing, and like, and we all just played ourselves. And then CJ especially, because he worked at the fucking store, but like, we used our house and our car. We literally, everybody that drives a car in the movie is literally driving Laura's car. Like, we just use the same car for like five different people.
Yeah. I don't know how many different directors, like, you know, have said, just shoot what you know, use what you got, you know, just, it, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You just got to start. You just got to start somewhere, man. So it makes it easier for you guys because of the familiarity of the relationship with everybody and, you know, all of the items and the locations, and you just, it flows easy.
Mm-hmm. No, it really does. And like, I've known Justin for like over a decade now too. And he was just like, really, I really wanted him to be in the movie. We were just like talking for a little while about like, like, I don't even remember how it was like, hey bro, do you want to be in this movie? But he, you know, moved to Georgia and he's going to film school. And, you know, I think it just worked out to where it was like, yeah, you want to be in this movie, bro? And it was like, are you really making a movie? And I was like, yeah, sort of. And so, yeah, I showed him like, you know, the stuff we'd made for Cruel, which I slapped together. And like, I was like, yeah, it's kind of legit. Here's a poster and stuff. And here's the trailer. And so he was just like, yeah, dude, let's do it. And so he, Kate, and Vince all flew up. And it was super fun. I've just known those three in particular, and Laura, for a very long time now. And yeah, I think it just worked really smoothly with this crew. And we're doing another one next week. It's not a slasher, but we're doing a Cruel Part 2. And it's going to be the same cast as ourselves. Minus a few of them, just because, like, you know, scheduling and stuff. But, like, the core group from Cruel and Blood Gorge are in this one, too. So it's kind of, like, the same vibe. I think it's just kind of neat to have the same people to work with. And then, like, add in a couple people every now and then. And when you're, like... Not that I'm a director or anything, but when you're directing a film, when you're directing something, I see now why some of my favorite directors and like producers and whoever utilize the skills of the same actors. And it's because they grow a relationship and a rapport with them. And it's just kind of the same way. It's like, even on a small scale, we're not actors, but like, I think the connection between us would make more sense to just continue working with, as opposed to seeking out like actors or whatever. I'd just rather write my best friends into roles that are just ourselves than something else.
I've heard that a lot.
If Alan, any of that made
sense. Yeah, Alan is new to the show as a host. So this episode will air not this Monday, but the following Monday. And then on Monday, we're airing an episode where it's just kind of me, my existing co-host, Matt, and then Alan, just kind of having a conversation about bringing him onto the platform and stuff. But I only bring it up because, Alan's an avid listener of the show prior to him coming on board. And he can attest for me when I say that in these interviews that we've had with film creators, that has always really been a good indication of success, which is when a director has a core cast of people that they're putting in different projects. And we see that a lot with people like Scorsese, right? He does that all the time. And then
like my favorite director.
What's that?
He's like my favorite director too. Just like, I was thinking of Scorsese when I had said that, but I mean, you could think about anyone else that does it. Like
Tarantino.
Yeah. You know, Fincher, fucking, you know, who the fuck else? I was just going to say, who's the new guy who did, or not new, but I'll think of it, bro. But they're just any big director really has like a few Nolan. People that Nolan, right. Yeah, of course. No, I should have said, Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, 100%. But that's the thing I like about that is that you guys are so comfortable with each other that you just vibe so well, and it bleeds into the movie. You can see how everybody meshes with each other, as opposed to like, I'm just going to show up for this one day and, you know, record my lines, shoot the scene, and I'm going to get out. And it seems mechanical, whereas with you guys, it's just very organic. So it's
organical.
Organical. There you go. It's nice, because I think it's the beginning of something that's going to be really great for you as a director, but for your core cast as well.
Dude, thank you. That means a lot. Like, thank you so much, because I think that they're all a very special group of people, each individually and as a collective. Because for the first time, like, my brother Kate and Justin, they'd never met Ali, CJ, and Maddie, but now they're like all really good friends, and we talk every now and then as a group or whatever. And when they come back up, it's not going to be weird at all. Like, we all just clicked so fucking well. But I've known this group of the Michigan group of people and the Florida group of people for years, and like, I just knew that it would be like the best crossover episode.
Crossover.
Best, better than Simpsons meets Family Guy, I tell you.
Okay, I got to ask about a couple things that stuck out to me. First and foremost was the Return of the Living Dead stuff. A lot of obvious Easter eggs in there. Like when CJ was writing the stuff on the computer, it reminded me of the vision chart that's in the office in Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, then there's obviously you guys are watching Night of the Living Dead in the theater, the public domain. Everybody uses that thing. Partying in the graveyard, you know what I mean? Like, just, it was awesome. You mentioned that CJ had made the posters for the movie. Was that right?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a poster out attached to the window of the video shop called We Can't All Die. And
yeah,
I tried to look it up, and it doesn't seem like it's a real movie. So I'm curious now. Was that like something? Is that a little inside joke for you guys?
How about I think that was such a perfectly accidentally placed thing.
Nice.
It's actually in the store, or it was, and I think that was the tagline for a movie.
Yeah.
So I don't remember what movie, but it was just perfect in that one shot when he, like, because it holds on that shot for like 5 seconds, right. So maybe like 1 or 2 seconds longer than it probably should, but it almost looks like a foreshadowing to just, it's like, no, bro.
yeah exactly, that's kind of the way I picked it up. So I was like, maybe somebody lives.
I think we noticed it before we filmed it, and we were like, oh, that's perfect, but it just ended up being just perfect because it was just there, you know, right under the open sign.
Nice. So. Okay.
No, you can. Good eye, bro.
Thanks, dude. Last thing, you said earlier too that you were managing rappers, right? Was that right?
Oh, no, I was, I had filmed a few music videos for some rapper friends of ours, and so is Vince, and in Florida.
Got it.
I
couldn't help but notice the track in the car on the way back,
yeah,
from the VHS store, from the movie store.
Mm. Yeah, that's our friend Drew. He's actually in the party scene. So that's our friend Ari, and then the song before is our friend Drew. And yeah, I filmed a video for their rap crew, and so did Vince. He's done a lot of videos for Drew, who goes by Mass Hollow, and Ari, who goes by Six Cardinal. And so I picked one of each of their songs, because I was like, this would be sick, and they'll totally let us use it. And it was sick, and they totally let us use it.
Yes.
And it worked so well. Like, and I was like, I told Ali, I was like, I really want you to rap to this song, just don't do it well. Like, don't know the lyrics. Like, try to like get the gist of it. And he was just like, he like knew like 70% of the words to the chorus. And so when he was rapping it, I just thought it was so fucking funny. We filmed that scene like 4 or 5 times, because like we just kept driving around the block trying to get him to like just nail it, and he did. It was just like a timing thing. He nailed it every time. We were just like, we had to end up at a certain point where the light would be like through the windows, and like it didn't look like he was just completely shadowed in the darkness.
Mm.
I'm sorry, I just went off on a tangent. No, but like, great. Yeah, that's Drew's Drew's track, Mass Hollow, 1991. And it's a really good song. And Vince did the music video for it. So if you want to YouTube it, it's great.
I already put it in the notes.
Yeah, it's cool, man. And it's kind of like, it was one of Vince's first like really cinematic, like type of narrative sort of music videos. And it just looked really slick. And I was like, he showed me that a couple, like 2 years ago. And I was like, oh shit, we could make a movie. Dude, if you can make it look like this, it's movie time, baby.
Nice.
And yeah, 2 years later, it was movie time, baby.
There you go. Yep. Okay, so speaking of movie time, sorry, Alan, were you going to jump in?
Well, I was going to say that I also noticed the other horror montages things in there, like the basket taste shirt.
Oh, the basket taste shirt. Yeah,
Faces of Death sweatshirt. I was like, these are true horror fans.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We are, bro. That's the thing. We are. Like, I think people notice. I'm not trying to say people take notice of that, but like, I think it does shine through, like, that we didn't make it because for anything other than like for people who like horror movies. Like, we made it because I knew there would be a group of people that would want to see it, and there are people that are like-minded like me that either like The Prowler and The Simpsons and just want the Prowler and The Simpsons crossover horror movie. You know, and that's how I see it. I see it as The Prowler, literally as The Prowler meets like a Treehouse of Horror episode of The Simpsons.
Nice.
And so I knew there'd be people that would want to, like, I was thinking about it the other day, like, even bad horror movies like have cult followings. And I don't mean like bad as in like, oh, that's a good bad movie. I mean, like, bad as in like it's unwatchable. I find myself watching unwatchable movies all the time, and it's because I kind of like to see like that spark of inspiration or lack thereof. Like, I really want to see what people do with nothing, because some people can do a lot with nothing, and some people can do jack shit with everything. And it's kind of fun to see like that sliding scale of what someone did with a couple $1,000s or tens of thousands of dollars, and how it got huge distribution or no distribution. Or like, you know, like, I'll go to the store and buy, like, have you ever picked up something from, like, you know, when Dollar Tree was getting rid of like all their movies from like Walmart and shit? Dog.
Oh, yeah. I got,
yeah, bro. I still have so many floating around. And I watched one. Let me just, can I rant about a movie real quick?
That's why we're here.
I hope you do.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Bro, Rose, Peter, Allen, Paul Allen. Sorry. I was like, Peter Allen.
I'm getting my notes ready. I'm getting my notes ready. Uh-huh.
Please listen to me right now when I tell you, Amityville, Mount Misery Road is the hottest piece of trash I've ever seen in my life, right? In my life, bro. Like, go on the IMDb later, and it's unwatchable. Later, but I have found myself watching it. I've seen it like 5 times now. Like, it's so bad. And I think I watch it because it's kind of like a train wreck. And it makes me, I feel like I'm closer to the guy that made it. Like, I feel like I'm in his head, and it's a little psycho. And like, I can taste the psychosis when I watch this movie. Not because it's like crazy or sick or weird, but because it's literally him and I guess his girlfriend. And they made a found footage movie about where they're going to Mount Misery Road in New York from Florida, and it just sounds like something we did, right? But like, it's the worst pile of shit. They filmed it on an iPhone, and it's just harsh, bro. There's no real story. No, like, you gotta see it. It's unwatchable, dude. You guys should like get together and watch it, dude. It's like laughably watch bad
parties. Yeah, we've been it's an idea I've had in my head, is to host some watch parties.
Maybe, yo, watch that one, but be like, and make it be like the worst horror movie of all time, Amityville, Mount Misery Road,
right up our alley.
And I'm not trying to shit on these people that made it, because like, they made a movie, and like, you, it's more than,
it's better than the movie, more than I made.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And that's why I, no offense, But I mean, like, that's what it is. It's like, you got to do, whether or not you're any type of art you're making, you just got to, or you want to make, you should just do it. Like, you don't really need money to make a sculpture, you know, or not too much of it anyways, like to paint a picture, like just do the thing that you want to do. Right. And I wanted to make some bad movies. And so
I saw the, yeah. I saw the clip you guys have posted on YouTube where you guys caught up with Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about
King
that.
King of bad movies right there.
What was that?
I call him the king of bad movies.
Oh, dude. And he is. Like, I really wanted this to be like a trauma movie, honestly. And then I was like, I don't know. I think we actually made a better movie than a trauma movie.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
No offense, Lloyd. Not that he's watching this or anything. I Kate's known Lloyd for a little while, and like everyone knows him because like he does conventions all the time, right? And like he just does free signings all the time, but like he really gravitated towards Kate, and I would just be hanging out with her, and we just like, you know, we became on a first name basis over the past like 8 years. And you know, for that, at that thing where we filmed that little clip with Lloyd, it was at Spooky Empire in Orlando. This is like the biggest Florida horror con.
Yep.
And Troma was there, and he's always there, and we always say hi, and we always like hang out for a little bit. But this time it was like Laura and Kate were both like the Tromettes, and I was Toxie, you know, so I had to wear fucking the mask and the tutu. And it was fun because we got into Spooky Empire for free.
Hold on, you had to, yeah. Or you got to? Well,
I got to, but I had to because we're also talking about like Florida in the summer, and I had this thing on all fucking day. Like, and it's like from my nips to like the, you know, up to here, and it's foam and it's heavy, and it's like I wore that thing all day and for like 3 days. But it was cool because like he got to do, you know, there was like a panel with Troma, Lloyd Kaufman and a few people that were working, putting out a new movie. And I got to be on stage with them. It was like four of us. So I got to be Toxic Avenger and, you know, in front of all these people. So that was kind of fun. And then Lloyd, you know, he even told me, he's like, you're one of the best Toxies we've ever had. And I was like, oh, let me do it again. And then I was like, nah, never mind. It was just like a lot of, you know, just a lot of waving around a mop. But wow. It was really fun. Yeah. So, yeah, I was like, Lloyd, you got to film. Like, I did this silly thing. You got to do this silly thing. And he was like, oh, I would have just done it anyways. And so he just did it. And we put his quote. I'm going to grab the tape now, actually. Hold up. Coming. So like on the cruel VHS I made,
nice.
Right? It's kind of sick.
Yeah,
there's pictures of it on the right. Thank you. I even put like labels on this thing. I had to get them.
Yes.
I know, right? It kind of came out. I mean, I didn't make them, but I mean, this is all CJ's artwork. But anyways, at this top line, it says, "Don't be a fool, watch cruel," and that's because Lloyd Kaufman. And then underneath it says, "Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment." So. But he said that in that video. So I was like, I don't care if it's not like written down somewhere. He said it. And so I'm going to throw it on the box.
The point is that you know it, right? And then I think that's right. Also kind of true with anybody who is creating content or, you know, even if nobody sees it, you know, you made a great thing. And that's, I think there's value in that.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, man.
Really, really, I appreciate that. I think it's cool, and I know that the other seven people that worked on it collectively with us think it's cool, and so that makes me so happy, you know, because
yeah.
Like these people that I got to do it with, they're like my favorite people, and so for them to be like, yeah, let's all fucking do it and like hang out at the haunted house and like the video store and just shoot this movie, and I was like, it was like the best like 4 days of my life, dude. It was like a good time.
Nice.
Like I highly recommend making a movie.
I tried my hand at it, and it's something that we are kind of working on at the moment. I actually have some work to do this weekend around that. Yeah, we're making it. I think it'll be a short, but it's my brother's idea. He's kind of the unofficial Mutant City Horror DP, cinematographer, camera guy, idea dude. Shout out Raymond, whose handle on Instagram is at 245 trioxin. So there you go.
Sick.
But we were all at my parents' house one night or one day in the summer a couple of years ago. And, you know, me and my brothers, there's four of us total. We're drinking, and one of my brothers has two kids, and the kids are there, and they're, you know, everyone's having a good time, and we're drinking. And, you know, my brother Raymond's like, dude, we really need to shoot something, because we have been saying for years we need to shoot something. So we had enough beers in us where I was like, I mean, I brought my GoPro, so like, let's do something. And we shot a little short with the kids, and, you know, a little, it all kind of revolved around them in the house, and there's a killer in the house. And I don't know, it's all of like 4 minutes. I'll send you the link if you want to see it.
Yeah, no, I want to see it for sure. Like,
it's on our YouTube channel. It's called All I Wanted Was a Coke.
Is that a Suicidal Tendencies reference?
Oh, yeah, almost. Yes. Yeah. We're just not Pepsi people. So there you go. But no, we had a fucking blast, dude. It was so fun. And I can see where, like, they're like tattoos. You get one and then you just end up getting a whole bunch because you fucking love it. So you make one movie and you probably want to make more.
No, and that's what it was when we did Cruel. It was like we got to figure out another way to get everyone together and do it. And then after we finished wrapping Blood Gorge, I was like, okay, so when are you guys free again? You know, just to like, it wasn't even edited by the time I was like thinking about what we could do next. But the idea we came up with, or my brother and I came up with, was like, make another zero budget film, which is this. I mean, a few people have donated money, and so I really appreciate it. It's a couple, like, we got to raised a couple hundred dollars, which is really beneficial, and we're going to thank everybody and, you know, in the credits of this one. But yeah, I mean, both Cruel and Blood Gorge were made with like a total of $600 or $700, and then this next one is probably going to be like $300, $400. And it's just because, like, what makes it look any more decent than it should is Vince's hard work. I think it's just the group of people, honestly, like Kate's hard work.
Yeah.
Laura, Ali's, CJ's hard work, you know, it's like everyone, and everyone's so good at their fucking thing though, dude. Because Vince is a music producer and he's an editor, and Kate's a crazy special effects artist. It's just like, I got lucky knowing people that do this type of thing, because like CJ did all our poster artwork. It's like, it was just like kismet, dude. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And again, not that Cruel or Blood Gorge or like anything that are like, you know, worth writing home about, but it's like, it's just weird how the stars fucking aligned, if that makes any sense.
100%.
It's
absolutely,
it's so bizarre, dude. Like, I really don't know how I got to like make friends with this guy that runs a video store and like was like, yeah, come film here, you know. And it made sense, bro. And yeah. So I was like, there's no way we're not gonna do this.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah,
you have to seize the moment, dude, for sure.
Yeah,
you have to recognize that the stars have aligned, and then you have to take action. Because I think sometimes all those pieces are there, and some people are either blind to it or they just choose not to take any action and missed opportunities. And it sucks for everybody involved, because then you feel like you didn't really do anything with stuff that you could have done. And then we get shorted because you probably would have made something really fucking awesome, and now we'll never know. So.
Dude, that's why you should just do it. Like, honestly, like, everyone should just like take a whack at whatever they want to do, because like, it just sounds it sounds like some shitty like self-help guru nonsense, but it really is just that. It's like, if you want to do something, you should just fucking do it. If you want to write a book, do it. If you want to start a band, do it. If you wanted to, like, any one of those things. And it's like, we could all like come up with excuses as to like why we shouldn't do things or like have fun. I got work and I got bills, and it's like, yeah, I do too, motherfucker. And like, we all do, but there's like no real reason to not like do the thing you want to do. It's just realizing what it is that you want to do, I think.
Well, especially like, for you guys, because you guys, I mean, you call yourselves old, but in comparison to Alan and I, you are very young. And
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old are you guys?
A little bit older. I'm 43.
Oh, I never would get that. You're north of 43, bro? Wow.
But we're, you know.
I got to go.
I know, right? But Alan and I both married, both, you know, leaders at work. We are, you're both parents of multiple children. Like, to even carve out time to do this, it becomes difficult, right? I mean, even in the beginning of this thing, I was telling you there's construction going on in my house that I should be helping with, but I have to find some time to carve out for myself to do the thing that I want and have grown to love to do. Otherwise, I'm going to miss my opportunity. And then I don't get a chance to talk to people like you, you know?
Absolutely. And that wasn't like me saying like, oh, everyone's adversities are like the same, because I know they're not, or like not adversities, but their situations. Like I understand that everyone lives different lives. Totally. But seeing people's work over the years, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can still produce something sick. And even if you have a lot going on, it's just about time management. And I'm not telling you how to live, but like, I know anyone can set aside, and hopefully this is true for you, that you can set aside some days in the near future, even if you got a plan way far ahead of time, you know, in time, like I'm going to set aside 6 months from now, 8 months, a year from now, these 5 days, 10 days, whatever it has to be. And again, I don't, anyone's situation really, I just hope everyone can afford that amount, that minuscule amount of time to doing the thing that they want to do. Nice. It's not like, it wouldn't be, not that it would be the easiest thing. It's just that it's, sounds so stupid, it's seizing the moment, you know, it's just like actually just doing it.
Yeah I get you. Okay,
well, and that wasn't supposed, no, I don't know if it was, bro, so forgive
you me, but said, I'm inspired, I want to like get fired up and take set aside.
Do it, man, just do it, all you gotta do is do it.
A conversation with my wife after this, she's gonna be like, yeah,
yeah. Right. I'm a director now, babe.
Yeah, I know, we're making a movie.
Nice knowing you.
That's right.
So what's the plan then with Blood Gorge as far as distribution goes? Because in my opinion, what I've learned over time, talking with different indie filmmakers, directors, producers, I get the vibe that sometimes distribution is where a movie can go to die, can get caught up and at least be in limbo for a really long time. And some people want to just kind of self-publish if they can do that. Some people just don't do anything with it, and we never see it. So I would hate for the world to not experience Blood Gorge. So I'm curious to know, like, what is the intent with it moving forward?
Well, thank you so much. That's so silly of you. But I do think it's for a group of horror people, though. You know what I mean? Like, if people like a specific type of horror, or just horror in general, or not to piggyback off the new wave of like the Terrifier thing or whatever. But if you're like vaguely remotely interested in any of that sort of gory horror type of thing, I feel like there's a crowd for Blood Gorge, right? And I think we're putting it out on YouTube for free, right? So we were thinking about like, where can we stream it, or who can we talk to? And I sent it to a whole bunch of people, and some people said, hey, we're really interested in this, but it's too short. And so I was like a little discouraged by that, because we were trying to make it an hour long. Cruel is an hour long. This was supposed to be an hour long, but we only had 4 days to shoot it. So we just kind of ran into a couple snags with who was going to put it out. But a company, an American company called Toxic Filth, who puts out like gore and sci-fi and slasher movies and, you know, gross movies, is putting out 100 copies on DVD.
Oh shit.
Next month. Yeah. It's a small thing, but it's pretty cool. Like, he's been doing it for years, and I have like some of his movies in my collection behind me. So it's kind of cool to just like be like, because he reached out to us, and I was like, you know, no one else, none of these big people are like really fucking with this because it's too short. Like, one company is called ITN, and I emailed them, and they were like, oh, this is pretty awesome, and pacing is great, and they really liked it. But they were like, can you add 20 minutes to it? So I was on the phone with Vince about like, hey, bro, I know the movie's done, but like, can we add 20 minutes somehow? Can we find a way? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you're right, I don't know what I'm talking about.
He's like, you're drunk.
I just want. I wasn't at the time. But and then we had this other idea.
Music videos, you know?
Yeah, we'll just, yeah. Just like the party scene, like we'll just like make it 10 times longer, bro.
You know what? Here's an idea, because we went to a screening of Maniac with a Q&A directly after with William Lustig, the director, in a video rental store in Burbank, which probably means nothing to you, but Alan will get the vibe. It's right across from Porto's. This place is fucking small. It's probably like the size of my bedroom. And afterwards, we were, you know, everybody was asking questions or good conversation about the movie. There's a scene in Maniac where he shows up to the photographer's house and she's shooting these models. And there's this weird fucking music that's playing in the background. And our other co-host, Matt, didn't really like that scene because he felt like it went on for too long. But it turns out there's a method to the madness. Lustig was saying that they were running out of money for the film. So this band who was trying to get out onto the scene, their manager had approached the production company and was like, hey, we will give you guys more money if you incorporate this song into the movie. So that whole scene is a little bit longer than it should be. And that music plays loud because they were kind of financially obligated to play it as a means of having additional funds to finish the project. So that can always be a thing. You just make sure it's, you know, the thing that you like, because I know for some people that can feel like selling out or whatever, but honestly, if it gets you over the hump and it allows you to do the thing that you wanted to do and you can do it where it doesn't damage the product so much, I feel like there's a good way of doing it. Yeah.
No, there's definitely it's a fine line to be tread, honestly. Cause like, I'm no fucking sellout, bro. I'm no shill. Right. But like all my friends, I just got, again, that's another thing with the music. I just got lucky with having very talented fucking friends. It's not even like I didn't have to go very far, you know, like the end credits to the song to it is like one of my favorite bands. They're a Florida band and they broke up years ago, but they were called Buffalo Buffalo. And it's just, the song fits so well. And in my head, I saw it before we even edited it. I was like, this is going to be perfect. All the rap songs. There's a punk band called Dear Darkness that's from Detroit up here. And I just hit them up. I was like, in my head, when I heard the song the first time, I was like, this is going to be like the perfect opening scene. Like as soon as like she gets her head yanked back, a la The Prowler, I was like, it's going to slap so hard. I knew it would. And they were like, yeah, go for it. And I was like,
hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It just worked out. I don't even know. Like, the soundtrack is bumping, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like the five or six songs that are on there are just like they go in.
I appreciated the credit at the end that listed them all. I screen grabbed that so I can kind of look into it. Plus, I'm making notes here. I got Poison the Well, Mass Hollow, Buffalo Buffalo, and Dear Darkness.
Yeah, Buffalo Buffalo's like EPs and records are on Bandcamp, dude.
Okay,
they're nowhere else. But like, oh my God, dude, those are my favorite records. Like I could listen to those shits back and back to back to back.
Nice.
And they're just so good. They kind of got like a Weezer-y vibe with like just a 90s, like bouncy, like indie garage, emo rock, like post-hardcore thing. I don't even know what they do. I don't even know what to call it, but like, it's so good, dude. Nice. It's just such a good band. And I miss them.
We just interviewed another director who's got he's got a movie out on Tubi called Evil Lurks, and then he's got another one in production right now called Vic Effect. So you might see that on Instagram kind of here and there. But he's also in a band. His name is Chris Shern, so shout out Chris Shern. He's in a band called Invisible Cartoons, and they've got an album and an EP, and like both of those things are fucking awesome. They call it Smile Rock because it's just like real upbeat, like, you know, happy, fun, go lucky overtones, but like the music is rock music. Like it fucking hits. So it's great. You should check it out.
I should, honestly, cause like that name, when you first said it, I was like, oh, that's corny. And then it took 2 seconds for me to be like, wait, that's kind of sick, dude. Invisible Cartoons. I was like, it just sounded cheesy, but like, The more I thought about it in these past 12 seconds, it's just it sounds really cool, dude. It sounds really cool. I instantly changed my mind about it. Nice. So I really got to check it out.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, that's
it. Cool, man. I know it's a little later on your side of the world, so anything you want to leave people with?
Yeah, I mean, Cruel will be streaming on Tubi soon. I don't know when. I'll let you guys know on Instagram, I guess.
Nice.
So Blood Gorge comes out on DVD next month via Toxic Filth and Uncut TV from Europe. And then we're going to stream it on YouTube. We're streaming it on YouTube for free in either late April or early May. We're probably going to do Friday, May 3rd, but it might be earlier if we feel like just being like, here you go. We're going to put it out. And then we're doing our own copies of VHS and DVD too, like from us, like in particular. So there's going to be like 400 or 500 copies of it out there, like minimum.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I think it's cool. And then same thing with Cruel. We're doing DVD and VHS from just us because nobody wanted to put it out physically. But Terror Films is putting it out. They're streaming it. And then, we film Cruel 2 next week. And then also, it's not like set in stone yet, but there's a movie coming out or being filmed next month called Amityville AI that Laura and I might be starring in. So it's being directed by Matt Jaisley. Shout out, Matt. He directed Necrophiles from the 90s, if you've ever heard of it. It's real weird. It's sick. It's like write that one down.
It's going on the list.
It's like it's a good cult horror movie, like low budget, gross zombie crossover movie. But he's been doing shit since then for years and years. So he's doing that. And so we'll probably be in that. And then after Cruel 2, man, I'm really hoping we can scrounge up a couple bucks and do like I don't want to say real budget, but like we're looking for $5,000, I think, down the line. And so that'll probably come from us after selling DVDs of our first no budget movies and then try to scrounge up 5 G's to do like, I got a few ideas, I think, but I really don't know. We haven't picked one yet. It's kind of like the thing is like, let's see how this goes, you know, but hopefully by summer or like fall of this coming year, we can be filming something with like a decent budget.
A lot of indie filmmakers go crowdfunding for the stuff they need. We'll probably go crowdfunding for our little project. Has that crossed your mind at all?
No, it has. And like we did, like I said the other day, like I made a post about it and people were just like, yeah, I'll buy movies from you. Or like, or, you know, here's some money. And one person, I want to thank her real quick, Samantha, donated way too much money. And so thank you, Samantha. And it's just, it's been really cool that people wanted to help, you know, and in just like 2 days. So I think with a crowdfunding thing that maybe people would want to help out or like buy a DVD ahead of time or something, but I don't know. I feel always feel weird like just taking people's money, you know what I mean?
But
it's cool because people want to help, and that's why I even brought it up, because some people, like literally like 2 or 3 people were just like, hey, how do I'd like to just help with the next one. And I was like, well, maybe it, you know, I talked to Vince about it. I was like, maybe if we put their names in the credits and it's like a smallish amount of money, maybe people will want to. And then a handful of people did want to. And that was, it meant a lot to me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, it was awesome. Sorry for ranting, bro. I feel like I'm just going off on
dude. Hey, you know, that's what we're here for. That's exactly so what we give the platform for. So it's all good, dude. Yeah. A lot of people will offer like thanks, you know, special thanks for end credits for like 25 bucks on Indiegogo or whatever, and then you get, you know, DVD sales up front, or you know, have a remote role. Like there's one that we're following right now, the Haunted House of Pancakes, and one of their perks was they were gonna have a wall of like missing people, and so for like X amount of dollars, you could have your picture up as one of the missing persons on the wall. So you find like different intricate ways to get people involved in the project. but not just involved. You get them included as well without like having to go too far out of your way to make accommodations.
Yeah.
So
no, that's the fine line that needs to be tread, because honestly, I think that's really cool. And I donated to something like 10 years ago when I feel like, I don't even know if it was Indiegogo or what's the other one? A Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And had my name, and I cheat you not, I don't even remember what it was, but like, it was like $20 and just to get your name in a list of people. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. You know, and I thought that was really cool. And I thought, you know, maybe other people want to, you know, do the same thing. And so that's what we did. But yeah, I'm trying to think of some more fun things, I guess, that people might want to contribute for, or, you know, so that way it's like more inclusive and it's not just give me your money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. I just don't know how to, I don't know how to include more people, but I want to. It's the problem. We'll figure it.
Yeah, you'll get there. You'll find a way. I mean, you know, things, they turn out, they happen for a reason, you know, even if it's for something to not happen or not go the right way, it's always for a particular reason, right? You'll get down the road and you'll realize it's a good thing that thing never happened or came to fruition, because if it did, maybe we wouldn't be in the position we're in now or whatever.
Yeah.
So
only time. No, that's, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say only time will tell.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it is with the next thing we're shooting. Like, we had to just write a completely different story, and we're filming next week, and I haven't even finished writing it, honestly, because it just changed up on us. Like, I did the first Cruel on the fly, and then the idea was going to be like very similar, but it was just, we had a storyline and another whole like setup, and the ghost arc was perfect, and then one of our cast had to bail out, and it was fine because it was like a you know, it's a real thing, a real valid reason, but it shook the entire foundation of what this project was going to be. And so I was like, okay, Vince and I have been talking every day for the past week. Like, what are we going to do? What's the new story? And I'm still finishing this motherfucking story that we're shooting literally in 6 days. But that's how we did everything else. Yo, when everybody came up here for Blood Gorge, they didn't even know what they'd be saying or where we'd be at. You know, they had no idea. And then, you know, we had just a pizza party. And I was like, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to shoot this day and this day and this day and this day. And like, you're going to say this. It's going to be hilarious. And that was it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we do have been operating. So I think it'll be for a reason, like you said.
Yeah.
One way, for better or worse, it'll be for a reason.
100%. All right. Yeah. Before I let you go, I got to ask, how do I get my hands on a Blood Gorge poster? Because the construction that's happening here in the house, part of it is for me to redo my office and turn it into an actual studio.
Oh,
and there's a bunch of horror memorabilia going up, and I would love to get that fucking poster up on my wall.
Like one of these bad boys?
Yes.
See, I don't know if the poster is going to be this, honestly. Like, there's, when you see the artwork for the posters that we're doing, though, it's going to blow your ass away, dude.
Okay.
Like, I mean, this is sick. CJ did this, and it's going to be our DVD cover. But the poster is going to be from the European DVD release. And it's by an artist who's Martin Trafford. His artwork is nuts. But like, when I post it in the next couple of days, you're going to be like, holy shit. Like, I really want that poster. So when we do our DVD drop, I think we'll do like $20 or $25 shipped for like a DVD and a signed poster or something.
Okay.
And so,
yeah,
I'll probably.
If the core cast is coming back together, I'd love to get as many people on that thing so I could.
Oh yeah,
right on the wall, so every time we do these interviews, fucking, you'll just see it right in the back. Blood Gorge.
Oh please, that would be, man, so sick. In fact, I don't even know if the poster is going to have the name Blood Gorge on it, but it's going to be, you'll hopefully recognizable. It's got, you know, the killer mask and everything, and
and
yeah, I'll post it in a few days, you'll see it. I can't wait to drop it.
Keep my eyes open. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right, Reedy, you got anything?
Nah, that was fun. It was a great watch. I really enjoyed it, genuinely. Like, can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for, like, letting me vent about horror movies, because, like, that's all I like to do is talk about spooky shit, so.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. You should yeah, check us out. We got a backlog of stuff. We got some really deep cuts in there. Yeah. Like Things is not on our Spotify, but it was in our YouTube days, and Day of the Reaper. I mean, you want to talk about movies made on a budget? I think it was made for like $100.
Day of the Reaper. Oh wait, no. I'm thinking of Day of Judgment, I think. Day of the Reaper. I think so. Hang on. Let me see.
Day of the Reaper was shot in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, yeah, that's not Tim Ritter, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it totally I believe it totally is, yeah.
It is. And I was thinking of this movie, Day of Judgment. I've seen Day of the Reaper. That one's pretty wild. This movie, not very wild at all. Don't watch it, all right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Tim Ritter's the shit, dude.
Yeah, it was great. I fucking loved it.
If you've never seen, have you seen Killing Spree? Last thing.
Mm-mm.
Oh, watch Killing Spree, dude.
It's going on the list.
Put it at the top of the list, because if you want a good bad movie, Killing Spree by Tim Ritter, so hard. Yeah.
Got it.
For sure.
Will do. All right, brother. Best of luck, man. Hey, thank you for coming on. Thanks for spending some time with us. Keep tagging us in your post. Can keep promoting all of that shit. And then once it's out for the public, we'll probably snag clips from YouTube and post that shit. And I mean, like I said, we want to get the word out there. So I want to talk to as many people about it as I can. I want to be able to share thoughts on it. And that only comes when people can actually see it. So
can't wait. Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Sounds great, man.
Cool, man. Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you, Paul Allen, you know.
Yeah.
I can't see you, Allen, but you know, pleasure, dude.
Right on, Victor.
All right, man.
Great.
Have a good night, dude. Good job. See you later.
All right, fellas. Later.
Bye. Peace.